Nikki has something real quick.
The state of Missouri has increased their mileage reimbursement rate from 47.5 to 50 cents.
Make a motion to raise to the state's level.
Second.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Linda.
Furniture.
Furniture.
Cubicle stuff. Okay, so from the remodel, we have two bids, Office Depot.
Office Max.
Office Max and Steel Case, which is off the state contract. It would include, I think it was 12 workstations with cubicle walls and the overhead bins, the file cabinets, all matching, but to complete the workspace. It will cost $21,000. That includes installation and delivery of Steel Case products. If you go with the Office Max, it's $18,000 or $19,000.
And that did not include overhead.
It did not include overhead. It wasn't quite as complete. And they, from a Steel Case versus the other vendor, it looked like Steel Case was a higher quality.
Right.
But that would give them the match, fit in the space that we talked about with the cube walls to create the space we're trying to get. So, you know, the whole purpose of looking at cubes was because the space is such just it's long and rectangular that if we put a bunch of offices there, it was going to block the light. You know, that's why we're trying to avoid all those offices in there. So if you look at the price, it comes out to about $2,000, a little less than $2,000 per workstation, which on average it's probably closer to $4,000. So we got a phenomenal price off the state contract.
58% off.
It would all match, but the problem is we wouldn't have it in a week. We'd have it in 3 to 4, but they would install it and be done with it.
It was Sifford contacted?
Yes. They were not even, it was close. They were close to $4,000 to $5,000 a workstation, okay. Which is the average. Steel Case did a phenomenal price on this deal.
Okay.
But they were contacted as well as some other people too.
That's correct.
But we're going to have to wait 3 or 4 weeks?
Because what their Steel Case is allowing us to do is pick out the colors too. They everything's built to order. So we're able to pick the colors of the fabric of the cubicle walls, the countertops, and all that.
How many stations?
12.
12. Okay.
Because we built it out for 12. We don't need 12. We need 10 right now. But my thought was we'd have two that wouldn't match if we didn't do it all at one time.
Okay.
And that's really kind of just. That's a chunk of money, but that's...
What's it going to do to us time-wise and what we... I mean, our main accomplishment was getting...
We'll still meet the deadline of getting in there this Friday and moving in. What we'll have to just use is folding tables and some other... Just we'll have to make do is what we're going to have to do. But it's functionally fine.
Oh.
I even wanted to make a suggestion. Me and Nikki were talking on the tables. We're looking at about 10. Jimmy Russell has some tables that Tressa had ordered previously for like jurors that did not fit in the room because they needed the space for chairs. So he kind of inherited those. He asked if he could have them. If you would be interested in asking him, I'm sure that he would loan them to us to where we don't have to purchase tables.
Or we could delay the move. But
no, that's fine. We had 30 tables, and that kind of tells me where 10 or 12 of them went to. We had 30 tables when Tressa was here that was unaccountable for. They're probably just scattered like that. I'm willing to go ahead.
What do you think, Chuck?
The one thing that popped in my mind, it seemed like somebody asked if they were going to be able to keep their own desk from down there. But these are all units.
All units, right.
But the ones that are in offices like John and Eddie.
Those two, if they wanted to bring their desk, they could.
But they're in the price?
They're in the price because they said they'd rather go with this everything that matched.
Eddie and John.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That, I mean, they've actually, you've met with, what I've asked Linda and Nikki to do is throughout the whole process, pick a person from sewer and a person from P&Z to make sure they're involved in all the color choices and all that. So they've been throughout the process, and even the color combination you got with the cubicles was their input from today.
That's correct.
So we're going to have a bunch of desks left over.
Some. We haven't gone through all of it, yeah. There'll be some desks left over.
Okay.
I'm hoping one of them may be able to fit in the airport.
That'd be cool.
One of them is very similar to the design. It really is.
Since we're on the subject, real quick, John Suti had asked about using his chair. He didn't like his chair over there. It's leather. It's not cloth. I wonder if it'd be all right to wipe that down. And I think there was two of them that were
we'll, let's
do that later.
Yeah, do it later.
Okay. What else?
Motion for approval of the low bid.
For Steelcase. Second.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Okay.
Linda, I heard mention move Friday.
Yeah, I'll get with you, Frank, on the timeline.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to get you tomorrow on that.
Okay.
Okay?
Great. Thank you.
Road and Bridge.
This is Mr. Ryder that we're well aware of. He's here today to put to, he put together a program to explain what a road inspector does and how that integrates with our work management system that we've had here for about 6 years. It was here when I came here, but we were not using it very effectively to help us make decisions about what we do out in the field and how we track our work. Since Mr. Ryder's been here, we've been able to update the road inspections and include the cartograph system into this update. So I will hand it over to John.
When my wife heard that I was going to explain to you guys what I've been doing for the last year,
she said, I want to come listen. I want to hear it. This on your desk.
Perfect opportunity to hear what's been going on.
So are you under pressure? Is that what is you don't?
She didn't know you were working for the county.
Left the house and came back.
Okay.
With that or fun?
Go ahead.
When I started, we had a general discussion with the commission and Frank, and we kind of outlined my duties as to what they were going to be, because this was a position that had hadn't existed before. Primarily, survey all the roads, inspect all the roads, with the intention that there would be a result that would indicate to us the condition they're in and a strategy we need to take in the future. Another duty, utility cuts. We have a program of issuing permits to residents and contractors to cut the pavement, and that requires monitoring and inspection. Entrance permits, where a person needs to put in a driveway and a culvert needs to go in, that's another item that needs to go out and be inspected and help them choose the right location and make sure that it's going into county standards. Setting out traffic counters, taking counts of traffic on the roads. It was done by the sign man. It's just viewed that I would be a little more free to put those out than forcing him to go to the same location all the time. And then just other miscellaneous trouble calls that come up where there's a problem out on the road and then a pair of eyes needs to go out and look at it. And a lot of times it wasn't practical for Randy to go, so those were the duties that I was going to be doing. So the first thing that I did when I started was to become familiar with Cartograph, the software. And I assisted in trying to get rid of a backlog of paperwork, a backlog of data that hadn't been entered. So by me taking on that task, I found all sorts of things wrong with the software. It was just not user-friendly. That was the reason they were so far behind. It was really ugly. So that was what I spent probably a good month or so doing, is
on the phone with tech support from Cartograph and changing things, making it easier, streamlining, correcting errors that were in there from the very beginning. Whoever set it up had gave them a direction, but then there was no follow-up, and so they kind of got off course. So data was missing, it was incomplete, the crews weren't accounting for all their time and giving inaccurate information, and probably 40 or 50% of their time was unaccounted for. So that was my first task, was really to delve into the program and get used to it. The next thing that I did, as we all know, we had some FEMA events. 55% of year 2008 was spent, of my time, was spent doing that. They just kept coming and coming. We had two, then three, then four. So finally they've ended. We recouped $1,080,000 so far. We're expecting another $600,000 or so. And my time has been submitted to them, and we'll see how that fares. They're questioning it and asking questions, but that was another $22,000 worth of effort that was put out towards FEMA. The next task that was on my agenda was the pavement survey. Now, to understand the pavement survey, the purpose of that, you want to look at what you expect to get out of it. Pavement management, that is either using or not using a computerized assist to manage the direction you go. All of your large and successful cities, counties, and entities, airports, they all use some form of a computerized pavement management software. The federal government requires it if you're going to get certain sorts of match money. But it's a good way to do it. And what we're trying to protect here is the value of our pavements. The hot mix roads, the replacement value is $50 million. The chip seal roads, nearly twice as many. The replacement value is $70 million. And even gravel roads, they're worth $10 million. So we've got a lot of infrastructure out there. And, you know, it's worth managing. Could you imagine a business that didn't know the cost of what they were doing and have a plan of a business plan on how they were going to function and protect their investment? So that's what pavement management is all about. Wouldn't it be nice if we had unlimited money? You wouldn't need the plan. We just do the right thing all the time. But we don't have unlimited money. We're talking recently about our money. So having a management tool that allows you to get a plan, do some prediction, that's the way to go. So back to my task, the pavement survey. The things that you look at out there are the actual features of the road, and all this gets entered into the software, length, width, etc. And then you look at the conditions, the distresses, rutting, raveling, alligator cracking, all those things, the weathering factors. So those are the things that you want to look at out there, and the original intent was to do an even more comprehensive survey and look for deficiencies in design, things that aren't right, unsafe conditions. But being that we gobbled up so much time with FEMA, we had to scale it back a little bit, or I'd still be out there looking for things. So we scaled it back to just the pavement distresses and the actual features, length and width, etc. Verified the map. There were a lot of mapping errors, database errors. So the end result of that is a full survey on the hot mix roads, probably 75 or so percent survey on the chip seal and gravel roads. The hot mix, chip seal, we have an ongoing program. We chip seal every year or every other year, and we do a fairly large amount. But there, I didn't see any evidence where we had any kind of a program to do maintenance on the hot mix roads other than just resurface them after they've totally failed. And that isn't really the best way to go about it, is to wait for it to fail and then spend another full amount of money. So that was the result of the pavement survey, was to come up with a map showing what conditions we have out there and the suggested strategies as far as periodic maintenance to do to these roads. Another task, utility inspections. It's really a good way to interact with the people, build relationships with the utilities and contractors. We have an awful lot of cuts to the road that result in bumpy patches when they're through. So utility cuts, the road standards coming into play, we'll have another opportunity that we need to go out and look at actual construction of developments and verify that they're living up to the intent of the road standards. Another task, the Missouri One Call Dig Alert tickets. When people are cutting, digging in their backyard or anywhere, you need to call the One Call. And that is a requirement that we be a member of that, and that results in 15 or so tickets, notices a day that somebody has to actually look at and decide if they're cutting something that is going to damage our facility. And generally it would be either a road or a culvert. So that is another thing that gobbles up a little bit of time. But with this, with the necessity to be a member, then you're also catching the people that are out there cutting the road and haven't bothered to get a utility permit. So it's kind of a give and take. It has a negative to it because it takes time, but you have a benefit that you're able to manage your cuts and people put the patches back in correctly and you don't have bumpy roads. And then all the other miscellaneous things. I've been helping in the office, troubleshooting computer issues and just the general flow in the office. I mentioned the cartograph optimization. I'm doing the DVD, the movies that you see on petition roads and other things. I'm managing that. Answer the phone. Danny.
Yeah. Do you have a copy of each one of those things that you get there that you're going off of, or can you get us one like in the next day or two?
Yeah.
Don't you get us one of those and let us review?
Cheat sheet.
Right, and I mean, I don't blame you for having that there to use because you've covered a lot of territory, but if you don't care to, get each one of us a copy of those and let us come
up there. At the end, I have a little packet of some stuff that is going to appear and some more really poignant information that has numbers and results on it.
What about the cardiograph? I knew that the girls previous to, well, when I first came in office, not even the last ladies that were there, they were having an awful time keeping up. Are you caught up on that? Entering data into that system?
No, we had a little bit of a lag at the point where Linda left and Deborah's getting trained. We honestly fully expect that once we're caught up, Deborah is going to be caught up and stay caught up. We don't see any problems with that. In the past, yeah, part of the problem was it was not user-friendly, and part of the problem was getting the crews to give them something decent to work with on paper. So, no, right now we're a little bit behind, but I expect in a short while we'll be 100% caught up and stay that way.
When I first started here, we were about 9 months behind.
What are we right now?
We hovered around six for a while.
About this tall.
Well, it generated every day. There's about an inch to an inch and a half of paperwork. And what that paperwork accounts for is every man hour, every piece of equipment hours, and all the materials that we use at various jobs. I've heard we're about 6 weeks out from being caught up. And based on what I've seen happen, are you going to get into work activities at all? We started out with about 240 work activities, and that's something that is... a task has a number next to it. It'll be a 101 or something. And now we're down to about 60 or 80, I think, John, work activities. And this whole process has been really frustrating for some of the crew leaders because it wasn't information that the office asked for in the past. And but for us to know what it cost us to do business, what does it cost to chip seal a mile of road in Taney County, not what does it cost Jernigan or somebody else to do that type of work. What does it cost for us to do business? Then we needed the accurate information to come in so that we could spit accurate information out. And I think after today's little report, you'll see that our information is not only valuable, there's a lot of it, and when particular questions are asked of me, what does it cost? What did it cost us to do Clevenger Cove? I can probably tell you very closely what it costs us to do that based on the data that's put into the cartograph system.
That's helpful enough.
The reimbursements to the different projects, I see, you know, we have a lot of reimbursements for sure. You're talking about utilities. Do you take care of that too?
The reimbursements?
The paperwork for the reimbursements.
Kathy does.
Kathy does that.
It's generated through the cartograph information, but no, Kathy does that.
Okay. Just trying to understand what's going on over there.
I have a few questions. I mean, in 08, you spent 6 months doing FEMA things, and now we're in 09, we only had a couple FEMA events, so where are you spending the extra time that you were spending on FEMA last year? Where is that time being spent this year?
2 to 3 months was spent on the road visiting every road in the county.
And so we've got, you said 100% of the hot mix and about 70-75% of the chip and seal? Okay.
Yes.
So your supplement time went to that?
Intermingled with that, utility inspections, the Missouri one-call tickets, not a lot of time to Missouri One Call, but it, you know, when somebody has an emergency cut way over there, well, you got to go out and look at it.
John, we have a tough job as commissioners because everybody looks at us as if we should know everything about everything. You know, if it's raining out there now, it's our fault and it's mad and whatever. But one thing that didn't match up from what we did in the past, I'd like to get with you sometime and figure it out, is they had a rotation of chip and seal. And as we grew in chip and seal since I've been here, at one time it was every 4 years we were back on the same type job for maintenance purposes. Then it, that had been that way for some time, and now it's 6 years. And the FEMA projects, I'm sure, have taken into that. But I would like to understand, and I don't want you to go into it right now unless these other guys are interested in that, but I'd like to know how we how we come up to a decision-making process on maintenance, time-wise. It's very, this is something that has nothing to do with Taney County Commission. It has nothing to do with the road district. Believe it or not, it has to do with the citizen that thinks his road should have been done. It was done 4 years in a row for, for 12 years. Why am I not getting done this year or next year? I can think of two in Bradleyville that just raised Cain with me about why we hadn't been there. And of course, I used the FEMA excuse at that point, but need to understand better so that we can at least, you know, we can refer them to you, but then they're on our case next time they see us, wanting to know why it's still 6 years instead of 4 years. But those kind of things would be something that we'd need to get with you and talk about. That's the reason I was talking about that list. If we had your list there, we might take, you go ahead and make out that cheat sheet list more in a formal fashion, and let us highlight the ones that we have questions about and the time or actual what benefit it is. Maybe that would help us understand, you know, more about, just like Jim said, what you're doing with this time, that time. It would help us maybe to understand a little bit more about what's going on, because it's not this county commission that you're explaining it to us, but where we get it is from the public, you know, and you know that just well as
as time goes on, and we are able to get more and more information into the system. There's two halves to this cartograph. One is the work order, and the other is the roads. And they're kind of separated in a way. And the road portion, once we get a fair amount of information in there, a couple of different surveys, a few years of maintenance activities noted per road, then we are going to be able to predict, or the software will assist us in predicting the life of Fruit Farm Road or any road. It will tell us that we can expect in 15 or 18 years that it's going to need an overlay, as long as you do other periodic maintenance in between. You'll see up there where we're talking about a 5, 6, and 7 year cycle. Those are three scenarios that we've kind of thrown together for the frequency of how much we want to chip seal or overlay a road. And you see the amounts of roads. We have 327 miles of chip seal. So if we did them all every 5 years, that's a fairly large project. If we do it every one in 6 years, then it kind of spreads it out, and it's not so much work on any one given year. 7 years, the same, but then as you spread it out, then you're expecting more out of the longevity of any one thing. 7 years for the chip seal, is it going to last? Maybe not. 6 years, maybe that's reasonable, and maybe some roads it's 5 years. So that's what we need to do, is have all this information stored someplace, because right now we're going back to people's memories. You know, when did you do this last? The records weren't being kept really well.
But Cartograph's doing that now, right?
Right.
Yes, we're starting anew. We've gone back 3 and 4 or maybe 5 years and plugged in information that should have been put in 3, 4, and 5 years ago. Imagine what will be in 10 or 15 years with that much history. It's you know, the next people to take over for us all are going to appreciate it a whole lot when they look at, they've got this system working and it works, and they don't have to reinvent the wheel. So, you know, I view this as really valuable stuff, because willy-nilly going on, you know, just doing it, you know, whatever somebody thinks you do that's not the way to do it. You need to have some sort of a program, just like you said, Danny, that you would predict ahead of time that this road's going to be done in 4 years, ma'am. You know, it was last done 2 years ago, and our sequence is every so many years, and you'll be able to tell the people that. We'll all be able to tell them.
The national average for chip seal needs, Danny, is 5 to 7 years. That's why we put that spreadsheet up there. 4 years is pretty aggressive. A problem that I've encountered in Taney County, based on the way things were done in the past, and this is also not uncommon, they called a windshield survey, and we would ask all the supervisors to bring us a list of all the chip sealed, all the roads that you think need chip sealed. So they do a drive-by, and they look at them, but they're not really looking at, they're not measuring distresses, they're not quantifying the percentage of alligators or areas that need to be removed and replaced. It's just basically a windshield survey, and then we get that list. On a four-year cycle, there's a propensity for the oil, for the road to be too rich in oil, and that's where you'll find the bleeding and the tacky the oil coming up on the cars on a hot summer day. So there can be an issue with chip sealing on too high of a frequency. This stuff has a cure rate that takes years before it's really hardened to the point where it won't do that bleeding characteristic anymore. And so there, on some roads, a four-year cycle might be the right thing. On other, depending on traffic load and how it was constructed, on other roads, 7 might be the right thing. So there really isn't an answer. Maybe it was done every 4 years at some time in the past. But this information that we have will help us make that decision in a more scientific and calculated way. And with the what I call special projects or projects in general that are thrown in on top of just general road maintenance, that keeps our crews rather busy, and our records can indicate how much percent of the time was used on whether it be building bridges or work at the airport, work on petition roads that have come in. Anything above and beyond normal maintenance activities, our records will indicate how much time was spent on that.
Back in years past, we had less roads. And every year we accept some, so that increases the total amount of, you know, the network, the mileage that we have.
And I'd like to tell you
that. It's harder to do to stay on the schedule we were on.
What is our, I mean, I may have blanked out when I was reading a document here. Is it 6 years, 5 years? What's our chip and seal program right now? Do we have a default program?
If I understand the question, what's the frequency of our chip seal?
Yeah. How are you scheduling? Like Danny said, it was every, 4 years?
Well, when I could first come on, like he said, there's a lot less roads.
Well, there's a lot less roads.
Every 4 years, they were used to it for 20 years, every 4 years, getting their road chipped and sealed. And so
do we do that? I mean, is it every 5 now? Is it every 6?
The last two approaches we've taken is to go out and look at the fields, look at the roads in the field, and make a decision based on what we're actually seeing on that particular day. And if there's a lot of raveling, that means you're seeing a lot of oil now and a lot of the rocks are gone. Or if there's a bunch of distresses to where the road is coming apart, that road will get some patching, and then it will be chip sealed on top of that. If we go out and see the road could be chip sealed 4 years ago and we look at it today, there's no raveling, there's no distresses. So would you chip seal that road just because it showed up on the schedule again, or would you chip seal a different road that might need it more?
So, but I'm making sure I understand, the cartograph system will let you say, okay, we're going to come back a year from now and do a complete overlay or whatever.
It's a planning tool.
By road. It's by road, though. Correct?
Yes.
an actual segment of a road.
Good. Okay.
And the next stage of the software, there's a couple of different modules, and there is a module that does the higher calculations, the prediction modeling.
Mm-hmm.
We've never been into that. The people in the past have never used it. And right at the moment, we aren't using it because we don't have the information in there. It needs a couple of years of surveys. You know, you survey it today, and then 4 years from now, you survey it again, and it looks at that.
Can you go back to one of your chip and seal screen? I was going to ask you a question about that. Back.
Which, the last one?
Let me see what you got. That one. So, Frank, are you budgeting then? One, say on a 5-year cycle or 6-year cycle on chip and seal, are you budgeting $1.2 million for chip and seal maintenance? How granular are you getting with your budget?
This information that we're looking at right now hasn't been available until the last.
Coming up will be the first budget.
This will be the first budget that I've actually used, looked at the numbers based on our work performance, and used those numbers to help predict what our
maintenance budget
can be allocated for.
Okay, because I mean, I can see this being very beneficial to the budget process.
I can too, Jim, but that's the reason I got a lot of questions to answer because it don't match up what I've been told and what I've seen. Let me tell you, when Mr. Ratterman was here, he had a different attitude about maintenance on roads, and he cut the crown. Whenever I was running for office, I went around through the eastern part of the county, and he cut the crown off of the roads to the point where there would be clay or dirt in the center where your road crowns to a certain point. And those roads now that we have had to go through the 2 years of FEMA are the roads that you're finding that's all busted up, weather cracked, moisture went right down into the clay area or the dirt area or the rock area that was the crown was cut off of, and now we're paying the cost on that very thing. I know at one point that it costs close to $10,000 a mile to chip and seal the road. I had the fortunate or unfortunate job of kind of being in your position when we were in between road supervisors at one time, and spent a lot of time with the road and bridge crews, and I wanted to know the very information that you're looking for. I wanted to know those figures. How much does it cost to chip and seal this road here without any dig outs, or what does a dig out cost us at 16 foot long and 8 foot wide, you know, and this, all these kind of things. But anyway, there'd be some questions I would like to ask and see how you come up with particular figures, because some of them are cheaper than what has been in the past. And if there's some cost savings there, well, I want to give you the credit for it. And if it's something that I don't understand, but I won't ask the questions about it.
As well as with the road segments, the work crew side of Cartograph also, we're still trying to get good information put into the system. That's always been a struggle. We're really improving. I feel pretty confident with the stuff we put in 2009. All this information doesn't include 2009 really, because it wasn't a complete year. We're getting good on our information. The reports that we'll be able to generate will be a lot more specific and complete on a cost of doing something.
Sean, what's the percentage of work that's actually, if we can account for today, out of all the work that's done in Road and Bridge, what's the percent that we're able to account for today? 80?
From a labor hours being entered in and accounted for. It started off, well, in the beginning, it was a conscious decision not to put all labor hours in, just major projects. We've changed that, and they're now putting all the labor hours in, and we have a loss rate of about 13%. We aren't accounting for the, that, at least that was back in 2008. I don't know what, I think we'll be a lot better in 2009. So we don't know what 13% of our time is doing.
Well, here's what I would like to do, and I may not be the most popular person in the room, but here's what I would like to do, John, and I, we had ended up and I think that's probably the reason this meeting's taking place. We'd end up with a cycle of you started and we were going to go to the fall, and we ended up with all the FEMA, and we're going to end up in August and take what you brought to the table and at that point evaluate. What I would like to do at this point, if and it's probably something we'd go into and have a executive session with him and talk about later on, but I'd like to go to December, let you put all this data that you can collect together and you present it to us before we have a budgetary decision to make in Road and Bridge to see the total benefit of what he's doing. Instead of, we were going to evaluate you at this August. I don't know whether you understood that whenever you were hired. First of all, it wasn't August. It was, what, November of last year, and then it went to August of this year. And then we, but I'd like to go through December and take these numbers and try to put some sense behind them, because we're going to have a tough time, I feel, budget-wise, trying to figure out where we're at with not only, you know, the Road and Bridge is one of them, but not only that, but every department we have, and let us see where these numbers benefit or can help us out. Do you guys have any other ideas on that, or?
I mean, but you want to wait till the budgeting process of December.
Right, I'd like to start off about the 1st of December.
When we go through the budget with Frank for next fiscal year.
Right, that way we
talk about all the staffing requirements.
Staffing numbers, okay. That it's going to cost, the amount of roads that we're going to plan on trying to do the next year. The whole shooting match, and that gives John another 4 or 5 months to kind of get things, you know, where you're actually going to be making that presentation to us, and we can see more of what's going on. We may say, hey, look, we just need to keep right on down this road and keep right on moving in that direction.
Frank, can I ask you a question about the FEMA events, just specifically FEMA events? If we didn't have John on board 08 or 09 during the FEMA events, would we have had to hire somebody? How would we have handled those FEMA events without the personnel you have?
On staff currently today, I think myself or Randy would have had to dedicate most or all of our time to that.
Just to that.
And I'm not sure that we would have been able to recoup as much money as Mr. Ryder did, because he was dedicated to it. But also with the FEMA events are very tedious and time-consuming. Paperwork stacks up, and they come on a regular basis, sometimes several times a week, and evaluate what you're doing. And then they want, one inspector will want something categorized one way, and another inspector will change it. So you're really having to be dedicated to it. I think it would have had a negative impact operationally for me to do both FEMA and to do what I do on a daily basis.
Can I ask you a question, John? I think you said we've had, in 2008, I wrote down 1,080,000 we've already been reimbursed for.
Yes.
And then we have another 600,000 coming, is that right? Plus another 22,000 for administration. Now, those are all the FEMA events of 08, or those 08, 09 events?
Those
or?
Are all four. And a very small amount of that, maybe 25 or 30,000, is the sheriff, the sewer department, a small portion of his.
But that's FEMA events that affected those departments also.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
We're all in one pool.
Sure. But you're also help facilitating the FEMA paperwork that affected the sheriff or affected the sewer department?
No, I didn't have anything to do with that.
Okay.
It's lumped together. That's where the 1.8.
Okay, that's what you're saying. They did their own. Okay.
They did their own.
Okay.
I want to make sure John, he understood that we were going to do some evaluation, didn't he?
I believe so.
Didn't you, John? I mean, you knew that there was a time frame, and then we extended that time frame because of FEMA, and then we...
Right.
Now, here's what my proposal is, that we extend the time frame for a decision on this for another...
Till December, the fiscal year.
Till December the 1st, when we can look it all over and make a decision. So it'll be January 1st of...
Like every department, basically.
And I may have misunderstood, I may be dreaming this, but you did say at one time that you thought that you was, you know, you wanted to work 18 months, 2 years, or whatever, just to...
I didn't really know.
You didn't know at that time, so, but I mean, that was just part of what I'm trying to get to is, I'm wanting to extend your time just so I can see a better picture.
That's a 230.
Well, personally, I'm wanting you to extend my time.
Gotcha.
By a year or two. And what I see with this cartograph system and the paperwork required, you know, I talked about how I optimized the system and things weren't set up very well in the beginning. Well, there's a whole Pandora's box of more stuff that needs to be tweaked in there to make this thing run well. So I'm really, you know, a few of the things that I see on the future of this. We didn't do a full survey. We didn't inspect the roads for all the other things that we wanted to.
When we say full survey, what I envision as full survey is types of ditches, sizes of ditches, numbers of culverts, condition of culverts, street signs, road signs that are there, condition of the road signs, any physical assets that is on a Taney County road, including verification of right-of-way, those types of things are in a full-blown inspection. What he's done right now is a cursory inspection of actual road driving surface conditions. All the other physical attributes were not included as part of the initial inspection.
Another thing that is lacking is we don't have a good way of handling our stockpile quarry materials. We use something like $900,000 worth of rock every year, and we don't really manage where it is at any given time. That's another little tweak to the system. We don't track our vehicles. We have really no concept of how much we use the vehicles, what it really costs us, how much repairs are costing us. We just know that we replace them sometime when they get enough miles. Train my replacement, really. This thing isn't going to run itself. So I think that's a concern that, you know, when I leave, there needs to be somebody in place that, you know, has the love for it, the care, but the understanding. So those are concerns I have on length of time and what I want to do yet with the system.
I'm not criticizing you on that point at all, but I thought that's what we were going to try to accomplish up to this point. I thought we were going to have someone that was going to be working with you as a replacement. I guess maybe I got this 18-month. Maybe that wasn't something that was in the picture to start off with, that you had a time frame that you was going to work or whatever. But somehow I got that in my head. But I thought you were going to have someone that we were going to basically be training along as a road inspector to, you know, take, I think even at one time you're going to go out and core sample a lot of the county roads to see where we were at and things like that. just a lot of questions that need to be answered. None of them that are real serious, but I just want to go down the road that we started off with and at least extend this thing till the 1st of December, and you can have a grand old opportunity to present what you got there to us to work with.
Well, hopefully, you know, by December there will be, you know, part of this is the condition of the database. You know, when I showed up, like I mentioned, it had lots of missing information, and that, you know, that stuff has taken a fair amount of time, many hours sitting in front of the computer, changing, you know, lengths and you know, putting and going out and verifying that this road is how wide and how long, and without that information, the system's no good. So it's gobbled up a lot of time just because of the condition it was in for the many years of nobody really understanding it. So I'm not totally confident what I'm going to have in December.
Yeah.
Just to.
Well, I just want to cover things like, you know, I get a little nervous whenever the commission finds road tickets with no signatures on them. I get a little nervous when we find a distance of Gabby Lane that's been chip and sealed that wasn't even county road. Coal mix put down that wasn't rolled in properly. Things like that that there's no apparent record of. So those are kind of things, and these, John, these, some of these things came along way before you came along, but those are things that I want to straighten out in the county system, that we can, whenever they mention a certain road and it's when we drive out there and there's fresh oil on it, I want to know if it's in the system.
Well, believe you me, we've been hammering on the guys for accurate information. That was one of the first things that I noticed when I started entering these daily work tickets. The information wasn't of the quality that you could depend on. So we've talked to the guys, got them to understand, created new forms, made it easier for them. I think they understand, you know, how.
When you get
the value.
When you get to that point, then we're going to look to Frank to say, you're going to be penalized if you don't have that information turned in, because really it don't come back to you, it comes to us. And so.
Well, we take it very seriously. We take it to heart. I mean, it comes back to you, mm-hmm. but we feel it, honestly, yeah. in that office. Everybody in that office is pretty darn dedicated. Mm-hmm. They want it to go right.
I'm through with my little talking speech.
We're good. Are we running out of time? Yes, as usual.
Well, I mean, what else you got on your list?
We had a lot, some more displays, but if we want to zip through it quick, or
well, we had that 4:30. I was going to make sure I was prepared for the 4:30. You know what I'm talking about, but mm-hmm. I mean, I got 15 more minutes or so. If that's
this here is really the culmination of the it's really the crux of road maintenance in Tannehill County. Either one of these, you've got your 4, 5, and 6 year cycle, but we've got to pick one of these numbers here and say that. Those, we're going to fund the roads to that level. And
that was my thought. My question, what is our policy?
We're in the middle of making it.
Yeah. Okay. What I can see, we've been doing a fair job on chip and seal roads, but we've done nothing on hot mix roads. We don't have any kind of a periodic maintenance program. And you see the kind of money that for 160 miles. It's twice the amount of roads for chip seal, but it costs about half as much because chip seal is a less expensive process. The investment we have in the hot mix roads is a lot of money. If we don't maintain them at the proper level, then they go down. And really, this...
The asphalt deterioration curve?
This is the whole story. You can spend a dollar at one... That 40% of the life of the road. If you spend a dollar, you're going to prolong the life. The next 40% of the life of the road goes down really quickly. So I've spent a lot of time on the asphalt roads out there. I know them fairly well at this point. And we got a lot of roads that are in pretty darn good shape. This is the condition map for the hot mix roads in the county. The darker the green, the better the road. The pink is so-so, and the reds, they're dead.
So are you saying that your plan, if it's a six-year plan, one-sixth of the roads get affected or get maintenance?
Not necessarily. In the asphalt world, an asphalt road, from the time it's built and laid down, you can expect a life expectancy of about 20 to 25 years on that. Only if you do several treatments, which we've never done here in Taney County. With asphalt, there's microsurfacing, there's slurry sealing, there's thin overlays, there's other things you do versus... we have a neighborhood where the road was built 20 years ago, and now it's to the point where what's called reconstruction, where all of the asphalt has to come out and new asphalt be put back in. So it's like painting your house before the paint is peeling off. You're doing things to protect that investment. And we would now be starting at, and I've been in discussions for 18 months with different companies around here, trying to get an understanding for regionally what types of pavement maintenance applications work in this area. And we've found those to be microsurfacing, slurry seal, and thin overlays. So I think your question was something to the effect, frequency-wise, in asphalt, right now we have some roads that are ready to be reconstructed. We have some that if they're... PCI, pavement condition index number of 0 to 100, 100 being best, we have some that are in the 80, the green ones he showed are in the 80 and 85 number PCI, and they would really benefit right now from an application that might cost us 50 cents per square yard versus a reconstruct of $4.50 per square yard. So it's really starting a preventive maintenance program to elongate the life of our existing pavements.
So what his data basically is showing you that how you should spend your budget money a whole lot
effectively, efficiently, right, so that you prolong the life of your assets.
Okay.
This is the scenario of what you might do with a hot mix road. Every 5 or 6 years, you do a slurry seal or a microsurface, and then after 25 years, then it's probably ready for an overlay if you've done those other things. If you don't do those other things, then maybe the overlay is at year 15,
right?
Or 12, like Meadow Ridge is an example I like to use on the west side. It's a neighborhood that is about 12 years old, and it's ready for either reconstruction or the $1.30 treatment at a 2-inch overlay.
There's what we have now. That's the general condition of what's out there. The chip and seal roads, they're nice because every 6 years or whatever the frequency is, you put a chip and seal on it, and it's good, you know, till the next time. They're very resilient. The advantage of a hot mix roads, they're nice and smooth. They're nice roads. People love them. But they cost a little bit more to maintain.
3 o'clock was...
Mel's asking if we heard back from Bob.
Oh, no, he's upstairs reviewing it.
Okay. I don't care if you go up there and check with him and tell him that.
Okay.
Take that hot stick.
All right.
We're fortunate in that our chip seal roads have as little traffic as they do on them. Traffic and load has, and truck traffic has a lot to do with distress levels of a road. And our, although the majority of our system is, consists of chip seal, it lasts for a good long while unless it wasn't built properly or to a standard to where a year of heavy rain could have a significant impact, which this particular year we've done some rebuilding on chip seal roads that were significant. We had a lot of chip seal roads that really took a hit this year, and that was not common in years past either.
A lot of wet conditions. I'm, for the most part, done with questions. I'll answer all your questions.
I've asked them as we went along.
Yeah.
We good?
Yep. No, really, this was just informational for your information. We're using technologies now that we haven't used here in Taney County in the past. Whether it's Mr. Ryder or not, who I think is doing a great job at what we've asked him to do, I think this type of information is critical in the pavement maintenance world, and especially in budgetary times that we're in today. To run the show correctly, this information needs to stay up to date and needs to be constantly put in the system. So whether it's Mr. Ryder or someone else, I think the need will continue to be there.
Great.
And he's handed out some information for you to look at your leisure. If you have any questions, please feel free to get back to either one of us, and we'll do our best to answer those for you.
I will throw out one thing which was going to be buried in here someplace. Cartograph has a user conference, and that would be way beneficial for me to go to. It has a cost.
Get it to Frank, and let's talk about if it's okay. In the budget. Oh, we made a pretty big investment to the software. I don't want to throw it away. So,
thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Recess till 3.
Okay.
20 minutes. They'll be back here. The meeting's at 3 o'clock. How's it look?
Is that with Bob and the review?
It's with the Ozark. Oh, it's the beach Ozark Beach change orders, and we're going to incorporate the other changes
review.
That Bob have done.
Okay.
And